for independence in the name of Jesus. If you would, this morning, we'll be in the book of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at a woman named Mary, the mother of Jesus. All through the week, been searching the scriptures, and I know this is where God wants us to be, and I'm thankful for that. The title of the message this morning is From Impossible to Possible. From Impossible to Possible. We'll read chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. I'd ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And the Bible says, And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee and named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom shall have no end. Verse 34, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father God, I am just so thankful that we are in the house of God on a Sunday morning to just listen to what you have for us, oh God. We know that you're in the house. Praise the name of the Lord. The Spirit lives in us. Lord God, we're set free, and we know that nothing is impossible with God. Thank you for that scripture. Thank you for the book of Luke. Thank you for Mary. Lord God, help us this morning to just know that we're washed in the blood. And I pray, God, that you would just speak, and I pray your will be done. It's in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. So we've heard the story before of Mary and how the angel came to her, and she was told that she was going to be used, Mary was going to be used in basically an impossible situation. Impossible to man. She was going to have a child without being married and without having sex and without any of those things. She was going to have a child. She was going to conceive. And we all know who that was, and that was Jesus Christ. We know that it was an impossible situation that was made possible by God. Now there's some, and this can translate to our lives, there may be something this morning in your life that you think's impossible. There may be something that's going on that you can't handle. There may be something that is impossible but can be possible by God. That can change the impossible to the possible. We've read about it here, and we'll kind of dive in. I had to ask myself this. I'm going to ask you a question. What are some ways we can know that God's going from the impossible to the possible? Number one, we see in verse 28. There is perplexity when God changes things. There's perplexity. There's trouble. There's something stirring on the inside. There's something stirring on the outside. Let's go to the verse in 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. In verse 29, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. There was perplexity. We see that when Gabriel came on the scene. He was sent from God. And when he came in telling Mary about this impossible situation, Mary was troubled. She was perplexed. There was something that was going on that she did not understand. And we see in our lives there's things that we just don't understand. But it's possible with God. And what Mary had to do is what we must do. She had to carefully consider what the Lord was telling her. There's one thing I got to tell you, church, is when God comes in, when the Holy Ghost is breathing into your life and the Spirit comes inside, we must be careful to do what the Father tells us. We see that Mary here, she was careful. I mean, she was troubled in 29, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She carefully considered what God was saying. She was carefully thinking about what God was saying, and she was carefully listening to what God had to say. You know, there's an old saying that my parents told me a long time ago, you got two ears and one mouth. A lot of times I didn't like when they said that because that means I was talking too much. But I got two ears and I got one mouth. That means I should speak half as much as I listen. Sometimes in my Christian life, if I listen, God will speak. He'll turn an impossible situation to a possible situation by just carefully listening to what he has to say. That's what Mary was doing. There was perplexity when God came in. We must carefully listen there. I was watching a TV show yesterday about a plane crash, and what was going on is the fog was, there was smoke, there was a fire, and it came in the cockpit, and they couldn't see their instrument panels. So in the midst of the smoke, they were typing in all the controls that would turn the plane, because they couldn't do it manually, so they had to put it on autopilot. Anyway, they was typing something, typing the coordinates, typing the direction in the plane, and they typed one decimal wrong. They were supposed to go left, and they went to the right. Went one way. They couldn't see what they was doing. They wasn't carefully listening. They had one decimal wrong and went the complete opposite. Church, I've got to start listening to what God has to say to me. We've got to start listening, and we've got to be sure of what God is telling us to do. And then when that happens, impossible things become possible. We see Mary was perplexed. We had to start listening. Number two, we see there's perplexity, yes. There's trouble sometimes. That's how God shows up. I know one thing. When God convicted my heart of my sins, I was perplexed. Man, I was troubled. I didn't know what was going on. He came inside of me, and it was crazy. And this is the same thing that happened to Mary. She was troubled, but we see, yes, there's perplexity. Let's go to verse 35. There's power when God comes on the scene. Yeah, there's perplexity. There's trouble. But when the Holy Ghost enters somebody, there's power. There's power to share the good news of the gospel. Let's read 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also the holy thing shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. There's power when the Holy Ghost enters into an individual. When there's a situation we see is impossible, and we're troubled, we're perplexed, when the power comes in, something changes. When the power of the Holy Ghost, when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, steps up and he does something in your life, the power can make you do things that are impossible in this world. Impossible to do. But we see that my Savior, my Jesus, the Son of God, the man that we're talking about that's even being born right now, it was an impossible situation because of the power, it's no longer impossible. The power of God. We must understand that what the Holy Ghost does. I've got to understand what the Holy Ghost does, what the Spirit of God does. And it tells us in Scripture, when that power comes on us, verse 35. When the Holy Ghost steps up, verse 35 says, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. I didn't ask God to convict me. I'm sure you didn't either. Because I was doing just fine, I thought. Man, I got perplexed the night I got saved. I knew the trouble was on me. I knew I was lost in need of a Savior. And when the power stepped in, Jesus Christ changed my life. That's what happens when Jesus comes upon us. The Holy Spirit invites Himself, if you didn't know that. You'll be sitting there, you'll be worshiping, you'll be listening to the Word of God, and then boom, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's on you. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. The chill bumps, the goose, everything is just in a snap because of the power that comes upon us. We know that the Lord God has that power. It comes on us. It covers us. The Word of God, the Spirit of God covers me. When the Holy Spirit comes upon me, He covers me, folks. When Mary was in this scripture, or when she was in this, and Gabriel came to her and the Spirit stepped in, she was covered. She was covered by the power of God. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. There's power in the name of Jesus. When that power comes on us, I'm thankful that I'm covered, and that power comes upon me. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse number 13. This is after you get saved right here. This is after the Holy Spirit comes upon us. It says in verse 13, "In whom you also trusted afterward that you heard the word, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed." Here's the covering. It says you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There's promise when God comes on you. When the Spirit lives on the inside, when we ask the Lord, we call upon the name. That's what we talked about in Sunday school. Talked about the helmet of salvation. We talked about when we get saved, the Spirit comes upon us and we're sealed on that day of redemption. Sealed forever. Let's go back to the scripture. Mary sealed because the power came on her. If somebody came up to Mary that was not of God, came into her and said, "You're going to have a child," boy, you thought that was crazy. Because it's impossible, right? We understand human nature, man. There's no way. There is absolutely no way that that can happen. But when God does it, you know what I'm saying? There's a difference between humans and God. Humans all know there's no chance. But with God, all things are possible because the power covers us. It comes upon us. It changes us. Man, the power of the Holy Ghost changed me. Changed my life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17. There's a change. Well, I said that in Sunday school. If there's not a change when the Holy Spirit comes on, you don't have it. You don't have it if the change doesn't happen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," not some man, not just a certain few, "if any man, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things," not just some, not most, "all things become new." Everything because the power of the Holy Spirit. When Mary obtained the Holy Spirit, and by the way, she didn't ask for God to bring nothing to her, by the way. Hey, when God stepped, I didn't ask Him. I didn't ask Him to convict my soul, but He did. I didn't ask, sometimes I don't even ask God to fix my situation, but He does. The power of God lives on the inside. There's perplexity, yeah, there's power. That power changes us. We see that Mary was chosen by God. I'm going to tell you something. News flash, if you didn't already know it. You're chosen by God. I didn't do nothing to obtain the grace. I did nothing. You did nothing. We did nothing. But when that power comes inside, we're sealed, we're covered, we're confirmed because He chose us. He chose me. Let's go to verse 31. Back in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, back to Mary. And it says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth the son, and he and he, and shall call his name Jesus." Mary didn't ask that the Son of God would be born in her womb. She was chosen. You're chosen by God. You're chosen by God because of the power that He has. Yeah, there's perplexity. There's power. Number three. This is the meat of the chapter, of the message. This is the meat. There's perplexity. There's power. But there's proof. There's proof. When God does impossible things, when they become possible, there's proof. Let's go back to the scripture. Verse number 36. There's proof in this situation. It says, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren." There's another miracle in this situation, in this story. There's another one. When I look at this, I'm key on Mary. I key on how she was going to conceive Jesus, how she was going to have Jesus to be the Son of God. But there was proof in somebody else's life. You see where I'm going with this? Hey, you're not in a battle alone, folks. When God saved my soul, I've got Christian friends, I've got brothers and sisters, and most importantly, I've got God Himself on my side. There's perplexity when He saves me. There's perplexity when He comes on and changes something. There's power when the Holy Ghost comes. There's proof. There is proof when God changes somebody. When God's working in your life, you're not alone. We see in verse 36 that Elizabeth, who was Mary's friend, was barren. She was old. There was no way she could have a child in man's eyes. No way. And we see that Mary was troubled when Gabriel come on and told her. But I'm going to tell you something. If there's perplexity, if there's trouble in your life of what God has called you to do, there's proof in somebody else's life. You can look around. The Word talks about examples. There's examples in Scripture. There's examples in a Christian's life. There's proof that you're not alone. And then when God's working, let's go to verse 37. We see that when there's proof come on the scene, the impossible things become possible. Verse 37. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Is it with JD? No, no chance. Is it with, fill your name in? Is it because of what we've done? Absolutely not. One man, the man sitting in heaven right now, for with God. I cannot promise you that your situation will be fixed tomorrow, but I can promise you it will be fixed. I can promise you the Holy Ghost, the power, the proof, the perplexity, everything that we see in this scripture will get us through. There's proof when God's working. And let's go to the last thing this morning. When we go from impossible to possible, when we go from something that couldn't happen to something that happens, just like in this story, Mary was told that she was going to have a son. And she accepted that. She knew that it was going to happen. So we see there's perplexity, there's power, there's proof. But let's go down to verse 38. And this is something I want to challenge us to do. There's proclamation when the impossible comes to possible. What that means is when the angel told Mary she was going to have a son, she didn't deny it, she didn't cower down, she accepted it and ran with it. Let's go to verse 38. "And Mary said, 'Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. In English, Lord God, I accept it. Put it on me. She said, Lord, I don't understand. It's impossible. There's no way it can happen, but I believe it can. There's something in your mind right now that you think's impossible. Whatever it was, it came in. But there's one verse of Scripture that we can always lean on, as in Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. When the impossible comes to possible, there's perplexity, power, there's proof, and there's proclamation. How can I accept what God's done? How can I accept? Well, here we go. Let's go to 38. I accept what God says. I accept what God gives. Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. See, God's going to give you something this morning. It's not going to be later. You see, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. God has never taken anything away from you. I know some folks right there, whoa, what are you talking about? Did he take my sins away? Actually, no, he didn't. He washed them. The day I got saved, I had a blood bath in the blood of Jesus. I got saved and he washed my sins away. God's never going to take nothing from you. All God wants to do is pour out his blessing. The Bible says it's a strange thing for God to pour his wrath out. It's a strange thing. Why? Because all my God is love. God wants to do something incredible in your life. He wants to do something incredible in my life. Is it because of JD? No. It's because anything's possible with God. We got to understand that there is proclamation. When God gives it, we got to accept it. We got to accept what God gives. We got to accept what God wants. Hey, sometimes when God comes on me, it's not what I want to do. When I wrong somebody, the last thing I want to do is go to them and ask forgiveness. You know why? Because that's not what the world tells you to do. But when that Holy Ghost gives me power, I can do what God wants. God wants to use you. He wants to use me to further the kingdom of God. Because it is impossible in humans' eyes to ever be saved. You know that? It's impossible with just a group of people in here. There's no way. But there's only one way through Jesus. That cross right there represents impossible, basically. It represents an impossible situation. There's no way I could ever be forgiven but that right there. There's no way. It's impossible for me to ever be saved and ever go to heaven without the cross of Calvary. It's impossible. But that makes it possible. If there's something going on this, I don't know what it is. If there's something that you think's impossible, whether it be calling on the name of the Lord. Hey, some folks think it's impossible to be saved, but it ain't. Because it happened to me. Lord God, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and it changed everything. That cross right there, that Jesus that shed his blood on that right there, that's what changed my situation. And we see the same Jesus that died is the same Jesus that can save any situation in our lives. Is it because of anybody in this room? No, it's because Jesus Christ is the only way to change an impossible situation into a possible situation. I'll leave you with this. The physical sign may leave you. Let's go back to 38. We see that the physical sign, the angel that came upon Mary, he left. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, oh, let's just 39, I'm sorry. The handmaid of the Lord be it unto me. Oh, yeah, it's 38. Sorry. The angel departed from her. Verse 38. Your physical sign may leave you. Hey, I get signs all the time what God wants me to do. When I got saved, my eyes got opened up. I can't explain it, but I know that when I was lost and I was going to hell and I was living a life that I thought was good, but it wasn't nothing. When he changed me, when he had that 180 in my life, I started seeing things a lot differently. Man, I started seeing things that were just basic. When God shows you something, man, that spirit tells you immediately. And we see that this physical sign, this angel left Mary, but we must continue. When something happens to you, when God tells you to do something, and then he leaves and goes to the next man, that doesn't mean your calling stops. Man, if you used to be a Sunday school teacher, you still are. Hey, God, if God's called you to be a preacher, you still are. If God called you to sing, if he called you at one time to do it, he ain't never left. He's never left. That calling is always upon us. Why? Well, 37 tells us. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Your physical sign may leave you, but I'm going to challenge myself to continue because the impossible things are always possible with God. We see there's perplexity. God comes on the scene, man, he changes things. He changed me, he changed you, we know that. There's perplexity, trouble. But then, there comes power. There comes the Holy Spirit doing impossible things that I thought was impossible, but with him, it ain't nothing. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says it's a light thing for him to move the sun. Think about my situation. It's real light. When the power steps up, it changes things. Then I see if I start doubting, hey, there's proof. There's proof that God changed my life. There's proof. Their old saying, there's proof in the pudding. When God comes upon us, and when we see something's impossible, we ought to proclaim victory. Victory in Jesus. We sung that. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, sought me and bought me. Because nothing's impossible with him. I don't know what's going on this morning. I don't know your heart. But I know that there's something in your life that you may think is impossible. Because I know there's some things in my life that I think is impossible. But I'm going to read this verse and we'll close. Verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the power that lives on the inside. Lord, we never deserved it, but you freely gave it. And I pray, Lord God, as we're looking to this holiday season, looking to the 4th of July, looking for freedom, I pray you free somebody in this place. Lord, I pray, like Brother Tony said, I pray for an Independence Day for somebody's soul this morning. Lord God, I'd ask you to speak, I'd ask you to move, and ask you to do what only you can do. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the power. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.